providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in for the second half of KER Politics. I've been away for a while. I apologize. I'm back in the saddle again. We're going to close up this particular weekend segment of KER Politics with Jim McKinney. We're going to opine in capital letters, bold, underlined, etc., on President Biden's speech this past Wednesday. Just opining, and I want to give you my opinion first, turn it over to Jim, and then we'll just kind of go on from there in a bit of a free-for-all. I want to say one thing. I watched it as open-mindedly as I could. I was very, very surprised that they had it, given the venue that it was, the lack of people, and of course that was because of the COVID, etc. In terms of the way Nancy Pelosi acted and Kamala Harris acted, you know, I think I was a little bit disappointed. They did not slam Trump, I will say that. I didn't hear any really overt slamming of Trump. I want to talk more about the president. I want to give you my opinion about his presentation, and I want to give you my opinion about his plans. Knowing quite a bit about economics, let me start out with the plans. Jim, I'd be curious to see what you think about this. Let's talk about it in the first half. And that is, the plans are not economically feasible, not even close. The United States of America is so far in debt, absolute destruction is right around the corner. And to promise people free college, free junior college, free babysitting, et cetera, that's dishonest. He should not be doing that because he is pandering to people who really need those benefits. The United States can't really afford to give them to them. I was also a bit confused, Jim, in the sense that he was talking about the resurrection of the American economy and how the far and away the majority of the jobs that are going to lead to that resurrection are blue-collar, highly unskilled. No college necessary, et cetera. And then he went on towards the end of the speech and he said that the American worker is going to become educated second to none, because if he or she is not, there's no way we're going to be able to compete with the Chinese, the Russians, et cetera. That's really talking in circles, in my opinion. And I don't wish Joe Biden any harm. I mean, Lord knows he's had enough domestic issues with his son and the rest of it. He's probably, Biden himself, you know, he's been working very hard for 50 years to get to this point. He's there right now. I hope that he doesn't end up somehow losing out because he is not competent to be to have a position at that particular level. I don't know if he is or not. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I can't comment on that. I just heard a lot of going around the mulberry bush yesterday during this speech. Number one, downgrading education in terms of bringing back the economy. Number two, all of the free benefits that he is promising to disadvantage, for lack of better terms, economically disadvantaged people. You know, I don't have a PhD in economics, but I got a good strong Bachelor of Science in it. And I'm going to tell you, that budget simply does not work. And I think the plan of his, I'm not wishing him any harm, but I think the plan is going to fail. Jimmy, what do you think?
I just heard a very interesting comment on a C-SPAN caller. She said, yeah, it was like Joe Biden was in middle school promising to put soda in the water fountain. He's making promises that he can't keep. And financially, I think you're absolutely right. The ability to service we're now approaching a $30 trillion budget, and he added another $4 trillion in expenditures over the next few years. How the heck can anybody do that? And what people need to realize, he's spending your money. not his money. That's your money. It's going to come from somewhere, or we're going to go bankrupt. And if we go bankrupt, we are in serious trouble with the rest of the world and China.
Yep.
Go ahead.
All I was going to say is I haven't been following this particular environmental situation since 1998. Okay. I totally switched the format of our radio show in 1998 from conventional business to hard assets, as people are aware, politics, etc., etc. Conventional business is critical right now. You can say what you want about the Chinese. They are adhering to conventional business right now. And you know what? I think they're going to win out in the end. I also found kind of an interesting contradiction yesterday when Joe Biden said, we're going right back to the Donald Trump policy of nationalism. I just kind of sat up straight as an arrow out of my chair and said, wait a minute, he was campaigning against that.
No, I think, look, someone wrote Joe Biden's speech.
Sure.
Joe Biden practiced it probably, you know, all day yesterday and probably a little bit the day before in order to ensure that he presented it well. And I will say that, you know, the interesting point about, and you made it, you know, you made a point, you don't know if he's competent or not, and we don't know that. But you will remember the first few weeks, first few months that actually almost the entire time that Donald Trump was in office, the media continually railed on his incompetence, his psychological weakness, his inability to manage. There is nothing going on with the major media outlets that are identifying these very big lapses, both in judgment and in cognitive responses, as well as the incongruent policy statements. No one's holding him accountable. So if that's the case, you've got sycophant journalists that are coming out afterwards saying and praising this speech to say how wonderful it was. But this is the fact. The first Trump State of the Union address had over 48 million viewers, fewer than 23 million viewers watched Biden last night. Now tell me somehow there was excitement about this administration and Joe Biden as president enough to win him 80 million votes. I don't know. This is a weird, weird, weird set of circumstances right now that really you have to question.
Right.
Whether or not the media, you know, if they're just compliant and providing state propaganda in order to prop up an individual, or if there's other financial benefits that are going along with the idea of, you know, globalization and globalism. And I think those people are winning right now. Unfortunately, it's going to be to the detriment of this country because we cannot afford the plans. And I'll tell you, the other part of it was his, you know, continual discussion of systematic racism in the United States. And I think that was disturbing, considering that there, you show me a law in the United States right now, one law in the books that is racist, and I would take note. But if you don't have laws and you've got a justice system that actually does not allow it, then you can't state that, even if some individuals are racist. So him harping on that is dividing the nation. It's not bringing it together. And I thought Tim Scott afterwards in his response, I thought he did a phenomenal job. And of course, immediately people called him Uncle Tim, which is as racist as you can get. So who are the racists and who's dividing people?
That's right. Jimmy, we're up to 9 minutes right now. I've got to take a real quick commercial break, unfortunately. And then we're going to be back to wrap this up. We're going to talk more about some of my concerns. I've got a lot of some family members who, unfortunately for me, don't think that my concerns are rational whatsoever. And the only point that I can make of that is time will tell. You notice I'm being very open-minded and very accepting right now. Stick around, you guys. Big Al and Jim are going to be right back.